Welcome, everyone, to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. My name is Chris Shore, and I am here for your WWE SmackDown audio review a little early this week, coming to you on Wednesday as opposed to Saturday, because SmackDown was aired live on USA this week. It appears they're going to replay it. I can't say in its entirety because this one was without commercials, but it does look like we're going to get a replay on Friday night on Sci-Fi. But the first time through was on Tuesday, the 18th of December, again on a Tuesday night, live on USA, WWE Week. Wednesday night we'll see, while ION is airing the main event, you will have on USA, the Tribute to the Troops special that will be going on there. So it's a big WWE Week for them. They do it once a year, and we got a live SmackDown on there because of it, on USA because of it. So I'm here to talk about this. Normally Jake Barnett and I get together on Saturday mornings and break down the WWE SmackDown show from Friday night. But Jake didn't cover the show this week. It was a Tuesday night. He wasn't able to do so. Jason Powell had your coverage, so I am flying solo this week to talk about SmackDown. But remember, it's not the only audio that we create here each and every week on the site. Do a ton of audio for our members, and if you want to be a .NET member, it's a good time to sign up. You'll get access to all the audio that we do each week, including a WWE Raw audio review done by Jason Powell, Will Pruitt's TNA Impact Wrestling audio review. Will and Jake get together every week for the .NET Countdown, where they look at the best and the worst in professional wrestling each week. Jason Powell does a Q&A audio on Fridays, where members ask him both wrestling and non-wrestling questions. I've been doing an interview series as of late. Haven't had anything up for a while, but got some big interviews scheduled for after the first of the year. Looking forward to those, some great ones lined up. And then, of course, Jason and I get together every Thursday for our flagship audio show. We call it .NET Weekly. We look at all the news of the week, often break news that is yet to find its way to the site. And, of course, all the old audio that we've done on the site, any interview that we've done, whether it's been with former WWE superstar Chris Jericho, whether it's been with Ring of Honor World Champion Kevin Steen, whatever you're looking for, we've got all the audio there before from before, including a Jason Powell interview with Brock Lesnar from several years ago. All of that's still available on the site for our members, as well as access to the ad-free version of the site, the .NET member forum, and the .NET member blog section. All you got to do to get access to all of these things, simply become a .NET member. Head on over to ProWrestling.net. Look on the right-hand side of the page where it says .NET member sign up. Click there and we'll get you started for only $7.50 a month. Not $2 off of that each month if you want to take the annual option, just $5.50 a month. And as we head into WrestleMania season, there'll always be all kinds of things going on, all kinds of news breaking out, and we will have it for you right here on .NET. So sign up to be a .NET member today, or if you know someone, you have a wrestling fan who you're looking to get the perfect gift for, buy him a subscription to .NET, make him a .NET member, and let him get access to all this stuff. I'm sure he'd appreciate it. But let's talk about this SmackDown show that aired on Tuesday night, again, December the 18th. It was aired from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. They recorded Raw also after this. It sounds like the taping was just going on and on and on. People were leaving from some of the things I was reading and hearing that night. So a really long night for WWE this Tuesday and for their fans. This was I'm sure this was really the biggest part of it is the fact that this was a commercial-free SmackDown. The only commercial-type moments that they had, they would show maybe a brief 15-second spot for something internal, WWEshop.com or something like that. There was no external commercials, and it just kept going. I will give them this. They paced it well. It could have been Crash TV. They managed not to do that. They managed to keep it paced at a fairly good rate, and the show flowed smoothly from start to finish. I was impressed with that, but it was long. I felt kind of bad for Jason as I was watching it on delay. There was no chance to really catch your breath in there, no chance to digest everything that was going on. And I'm sure for the fans in attendance, it just got to be too much. And then to follow up right after it with another taping for Raw, or maybe it was before. I can't remember the order, but at any rate, I'm sure that was a group that was very tired when that show was over. They were quiet towards the end of it as well. You could tell the strain was starting to get to them. But, you know, overall it was a fair show. It moved pretty quickly. Again, the lack of commercials kind of, you know, messes with your rhythm a little bit. But, you know, there's some things that Jason basically described it as a continuation of Raw, and that's probably the most accurate description for this show. It was just like what happened after Raw went off the air. We'll show you on SmackDown is exactly what it felt like. It could have just continued out of where the show ended before. And, I mean, straight from the opener with AJ and Ziggler and Biggie Langston coming out and doing Miz TV all the way up to the very end, with the same sort of finish as we had on Raw. This was just Raw 2.0 in a lot of ways. And it wasn't a bad show. They didn't do too much silly stuff. We saw a lot of the Shield, though I'm starting to frown upon these run-ins, and I'll talk about why here in a minute. But newsworthy in the sense of we got an explanation from AJ as to why she did what she did with Cena. We got a couple of Shield attacks again, including one that I guess is supposed to put somebody out, Sin Cara out. We'll talk about that in a minute. As well as the big announcement, of course, I guess coming out of this being that on the very first Raw of the year, January 7th, is that right? Yes, January 7th, the very first Raw of the new year, Ryback will be facing CM Punk for the WWE Championship. They had an extended promo segment with those two guys, well, mostly Punk, and then Ryback at the very end saying that he was going to take his shot there. And then, from there, not a whole lot going on in the sense of continuing any other storylines. We virtually had the same finish at the end of the show, Biggie Langston standing over top of John Cena and AJ skipping around. That's how we opened the show. That's how we closed the show. And the Shield attacks and whatnot. But it's, other than really that announcement for the Raw, the first Raw of the first of the year, not a very newsworthy show as a whole. Some things happened, and we can talk about those. But, probably more newsworthy than your average SmackDown. I'll give you that, because some things were announced for Raw and whatnot. And I'd be interested to see what the ratings are on this. They've done the live fuses before on SmackDown, but I wonder, coming out of Raw, it was pretty well hyped on Raw and certainly well hyped on USA. I just wonder what kind of ratings this will do compared to the type of ratings that it normally gets when it does a Tuesday live special on Sci-Fi. At the end of the day, a pretty good show that was paced well. A lot of it was just kind of filler, but it wasn't bad filler like we get sometimes. There were a couple of moments where you're just rolling your eyes and you're like, okay, get through this, and I'm fast forwarding as I'm watching. But a lot of the show, it flowed well. They did a better job than I thought they were going to. I fully expected to come on here ready to kill this thing. And it wasn't near as bad as I thought it might be. So kudos to them for that. Let's take the show from start to finish, though, and we'll talk about each of these things as we go through. Lots to talk about here again. Some very long segments because of the no commercial situation. Some of these talking segments went really, really, really long, including the opening segment, which was Miz TV. We had a video recap that aired, the same thing. Michael Cole joined the team of JBL and Josh Matthews on commentary, and we opened with Miz in the ring. Miz told a joke about his guest doing more damage than Lindsay Lohan in a moving vehicle. As Jason Powell put it, the joke bombed. It didn't bomb. It nuclear bombed. It was people were just like, and he even set it up. He goes, "Dude does more damage than Lindsay Lohan in a moving vehicle." This is what we're getting from Miz. This is yuck yuck stand-up comedy from the Miz. It was so bad, it was terrible. But Miz did finally let up and introduce Dolph Ziggler, AJ Lee, and Biggie Langston, and all of who came out together on with Dolph Ziggler's music. AJ, of course, even pulling his chin down and planting a big kiss on him on the stage before they made their way to the ring. Miz asked AJ to explain what she did to John Cena, her actions with John Cena. She told Miz that he should ask Cena why he toyed with her heart. AJ said her job, she lost her job as Raw General Manager because she wanted to keep his good name clean. They aired footage of her and Cena kissing, and she, kind of screamed out that won a Slammy Award, but he was just playing games with her as well, and they aired footage of Cena talking about the hair bow ribbons that Vicky Guerrero claimed to have found in AJ's locker room when they went to the locker a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was, on SmackDown, and him talking about how ugly and ridiculous they were. AJ said Cena didn't appreciate how long it took for her to make those bows. She also showed the other video of her trying to go out to the ring with Cena last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, only to have her tell Cena say, "Well, I think it's best if you just stay backstage." And you know, and I go out there because I don't want anything bad to happen to you. And she just even was trying to keep her, you know, hidden, like she was his dirty little secret or something. She said that, you know, Cena was supposed to be different from Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. You know, he was supposed to be the good guy, but he used her, humiliated her, and threw her away just like a piece of trash, just like the others had. She said, John Cena broke my heart, and so I helped Dolph Ziggler break John Cena. Miz kind of mocked her and said something about them being America's sweethearts. But then he asked, he goes, and really, you two, you're on board the crazy train, talking to Ziggler about AJ. Langston stepped up at that point. AJ had him back down. She said that Langston is a friend of hers and doesn't like when people use that word. He said, well, why don't you skip around the ring a few times while I think up an apology. Dolph said AJ isn't crazy. He actually had her put her hands on her ears. He goes, listen, she's not earmuffs, honey, and she put her hands over her ears, and he said, crazy, but turned around and nodded, and then came back and said, she's passionate, as he learned that, as he learned last night when AJ crushed Sheena, and as he also learned that night, the way he put it, too, the crowd really popped forward. He goes, she's passionate, as I learned last night, and the crowd just kind of went nuts for that. That was kind of funny. I don't know if he was timing that way for the double entendre, which is certainly within his character, or what, but he didn't let on to it. So if he did it on purpose, it was a nice one with the crowd like that. Ziggler said he doesn't need a Slammy Award because he kept his Money in the Bank contract. He said he stole the show and seen his girlfriend. Miz said he hopes Ziggler can satisfy AJ's multiple personalities, and then mocked all the guys AJ has been with. She's been with, how was he put it? A monster, a goat face, a gimp, I forget what he called Cena, he said, and now the sixth member of One Direction. Ziggler had his head kind of cocked to the side, like, really, you know, that's your best argument. And then he just kind of looked at Langston and nodded a little bit. Langston just blasted Miz, knocked him down, picked him up and hit him with that finisher that he used on Cena at the end of Raw the night before. AJ looked down with the mic in her hand and said, show off, and then skipped around the ring while Langston and Ziggler stood there and celebrated. You know, it was an okay segment. They went back to it. They explained nothing, if you think about it. We kind of figured it was Cena broke her heart. She was upset with Cena, and that was that. It doesn't explain why she would immediately jump to Dolph. And Miz even pointed out at one point, didn't this guy call you a piece of trash a couple of weeks ago? You know, I still think this means that AJ's in charge of the Shield ultimately. Some of their attacks tonight didn't make sense to me in the grand scheme of things, and that's why, you know, I said earlier I was kind of starting to frown on some of their attacks. We'll talk about that in a minute, but I was hoping, I kind of gotten most of the attacks made sense to me if AJ was ultimately the person behind the Shield, but now they're not, especially with this promo that she just cut, because she kind of trashed Punk in the process, and they've managed to, you know, they look like they're working for Punk, actually. So we're still trying to figure out exactly what's going on there. So I don't think it's AJ. I do like the fact that she's got Langston involved, and it's nice to see another call-up. WWE, look, we've been all over them about new talent, and as of the past 3 or 4 months, they have done a great job with the three guys of the Shield, and then Langston comes up, immediately gets put in a major angle. I don't know what this means long term for any of these guys, but today I have to say they're doing a good job. Do I expect them to continue it? No, I expect them to screw this up just like they always do, and probably burn a couple of these guys in the process. But for now, I'm going to give them the thumbs up and say good job on that, and way to bring in new talent and have something to do with them and do something big with them and make them big deals. I like that. You know, they've just got to stay the course. So they didn't, you know, they didn't tell a whole lot here. They just kind of confirmed what I think most people were already thinking at this point, that, you know, AJ was upset. It was just another crazy chick situation. And I don't know if that does her any credit here. Part of the reason why I wanted her to be the person behind the Shield, and I thought maybe Big E Langston's debut signaled that, was because that's at least an evolution of her character. She's still just the crazy chick who gets her heart broken. She's just moved on to one guy instead of three at the same time. I wanted more out of her character than that. So not a big fan of what they're doing thus far, but we'll see where it goes and if she just, you know, if this is an attempt to turn Dolph Ziggler heel or babyface by the time it's all said and done. I don't know. I have no idea what the long-term plan is here, and but it looks like she's just playing that same old crazy chick, you know, role, and I wanted more. I think it needs to evolve, and I think it needs to evolve pretty quick. But from there, we went backstage to where Teddy Long was talking to Booker T, or he walked up on Booker T, said that he had found somebody that Booker should look at, and introduced, or started to introduce him, but the guy introduced himself, Brad Maddox, stepped up, and Booker said, excuse us for a second. He dragged Teddy off to the side. He said, you know, do you not realize who this guy is? Did you not see him standing out there with me on the stage during the Slammies? And Teddy said, yeah, I saw all of that. I saw you there. I saw him there. But I also know that he's got good talent. I think he's a good guy. And he didn't call him a good guy, but, he's a great talent. He's got a great look, and I think he can succeed here. And so Booker said, well, since he's your project, go ahead and tell him he'll get his match, and he'll find out who it is whenever he goes out there. Whatever from Long, I don't know if this is him siding with Maddox. I hope not. I hope it's not a coup against Booker. Who the hell knows what's going on there? I don't know. I don't know. Teddy seems against Booker T here on this, and it just doesn't make any sense to me why they're doing it. Maybe it's just an innocuous thing. Maybe they just need a way to get Maddox on SmackDown, and this is the way they decided to do it, and Teddy will kind of drop out for the most part from here. But I didn't like this all that much. Certainly in the sense of if they're building towards a Teddy Long versus Booker T storyline, I think I'd rather see more Hornswoggle and Kali, quite honestly. I apologize for the extra cuts in this week's audio. I'm working with a little bit of a sinus infection here, so I'm having to pause periodically to rehydrate, because otherwise my nose will thicken up, and if you think my accent is bad now, wait until I'm talking through my nose. Yes, this is me not talking through my nose. But from there we went on to our first match of the night, and it was Damian Sandow defeating Sin Cara in 6 minutes and 15 seconds. You had both heels, Sandow and Cody Rhodes made their entrance. Sin Cara was out next. Rey Mysterio was supposed to accompany him to the ring, but that didn't happen, so they wondered where Mysterio was. And then we found out at the end of this match, the finish came. Sin Cara had just hit a suicide dive on both Sandow and Rhodes on the floor. It rolled back into the ring, and at that point, the Shield came down through the crowd, hopped over the rail, pulled out something in their hand, and it held it up, and it was Rey Mysterio's mask. They tossed it in the ring. Sin Cara picked it up and looked at it, which allowed Damian Sandow to attack him from behind, hit the straight jacket neckbreaker for the win. And then he and Cody Rhodes split. They beat it so that the Shield could get in the ring, attack Sin Cara. They beat him down, held him while Seth Rollins jumped off the top rope and hit a knee drop onto Sin Cara's leg that they had been holding up, essentially to Cole sold it, as you know, he had extensive damage to that knee before. Jason put in his report. At the same time, Cole was just kind of like, oh, it could hurt his knee, and kind of moved on, as opposed to really, you know, getting past the idea that this knee had been damaged, and the way that Sin Cara was writhing in pain, and the way Seth Rollins came down on the leg. It was just kind of a missed opportunity there for Cole to really, you know, separate himself and show what goes from being a competent play-by-play person to a good play-by-play person, you know, even to a great play-by-play person. So, in fact, trainers even had to come out and check on Sin Cara as the Shield went back through the ring or back through the crowd as well. Obviously the purpose of this was to get to Sin Cara, and so I'm glad Sandow got the win, because those guys are challenging for the tag title soon. So, the match accomplished what it needed to do. We got an attack from the Shield, and here's what I don't like about it. And we're going to see another attack later in the show, but the one thing I don't like, it may just be that I'm impatient, but I don't think so. I think in this case they've kind of screwed up the order. A lot of times you can have these attacks and then wait for an explanation. But we've already seen them in the ring now, and this is kind of my same problem with Aces and Eights in TNA. I'm just not sure of anybody's motivation here. I understand they're the Shield of Injustice or the Shield people from Injustice, and JBL went out of his way to talk about their code of honor that they live by. You may not agree with it, but it's their truth, it's their code, and they adhere to it, and you got to respect that. And okay, I'm willing to accept that. I really am. I'm not saying that that's bad in the least. I'm willing to accept all that. But I think you need to tell me what it is. I don't think because we've seen them and they've already talked and they've talked about why they've done some things, but not so much others. It's, you know, I want a clearer understanding. I want to understand why they pick a guy that they attack. You know, with the NWO, it was just whatever guy they felt like going. And maybe that's what's happening here. Maybe that's what's happening with Aces and Eights. We know they're throwing the dart, but you know, with the NWO, just as an example, they were there to take over WCW. And, you know, whether that was a good story or a bad story, ultimately, my point is that was their motivation. They were there to take over. They wanted to be the show. They wanted to put WCW out of business. That's not what the Shield's doing. It doesn't, I don't know if that's what Aces and Eights is doing, but it doesn't feel that way. So, you know, that's my problem with both of these factions right now, is I just want a clearer understanding of why you're doing what you're doing. You don't have to give the house away at this point, but, you know, give me a bed, you know, give me something that I can hold on to and really, okay, I can see how they, you know, and then if later I figure, you know, you come back and you tell me something, you know, and I'm completely wrong, that's okay. I just want to be able to hold to something, because right now it's just random for the sake of random, and that's not good storytelling. You know, if you think about any, say, cop show, any police show where they're chasing a serial killer, or they think they might be a serial killer, and if they've got random victims, and, you know, all these different things are random, they're always planting seeds. You always feel like you're honing in finally. Here it just feels like we're just getting random on top of random, and I don't feel like we're closing in anywhere. It's reaching a level of frustration. They haven't lost me yet, but it is certainly reaching a level of frustration where I just, you know, why? Why Sin Cara and Rey? What did they do? You know, everybody else, I think you can make a case for in your own head, but those guys, it's like, that doesn't make any sense. And maybe we'll get an answer on Monday, but I doubt it. I think it's going to be a couple of weeks before we get an answer. I think we're going to get to the holidays first. And I just want a better understanding of why. I don't have to know everything, just a better understanding of why for these guys would make it better. From there, we went to our second match of the night. We had an ad for the Tribute to the Troops, and then second match, Santino Marella pinning Tensai in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. They replayed the video of Santino calling him Fat Albert last night for the Slammy Awards. Tensai was on a big roll, beating up Santino. He went for his finisher, his senton, but Santino covered him for the win off of the miss. He had tried to hit the scorpion a couple of times, but it had been stopped. In fact, he did hit it one time, but Tensai put his head down. It struck the top of his head. Santino was and the snake were shocked from that, and that's when Tensai clotheslined and went for his senton and missed. Santino covering for the win. I really couldn't care less. What else will you want me to say? Cole announced that they received word from backstage that Sin Cara was suffering a serious knee damage from the Shield attack. They promised more if they got it before the end of the show. We got footage from Raw on the return of Ric Flair and the various segments he was in. Then they cut backstage to where Kofi Kingston congratulated Kane and Daniel Bryan on standing up to the Shield. Said it was about time someone did. Daniel Bryan standing over there just fuming the whole time, you could tell. Kane said it would be helpful if he grew eyes in the back of his head since everyone knows the Shield is there after they'd already seen him once. Kingston said that whenever they got in the ring that he didn't, you know, he wanted to be a good team player, but he just asked that they had to let him get his hands on Wade Barrett. Daniel Bryan got all pissy at this point, and Kane said it was because Bryan asked him, he said, didn't you LLL more at Kane and I in anger management as opposed to The Rock throwing John Cena stuff in the water or something like that? And Kane explained that he was mad that he hadn't won a Slammy, and Kofi said, you mean like this one? And they got all worked up, and there was a joke about, you know, you think you get it just because you have a good catchphrase. He said, you got to admit it, Ric Flair's catchphrase would be the best. Nothing would be better than woo. And Daniel Bryan disputed that. So he was screaming no into what was essentially a break as they just went back out to the live to the crowd. And for our third match of the night, Kane, Daniel Bryan, and Kofi Kingston defeating Wade Barrett and the primetime players. Jason doesn't have a time. It was probably, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 minutes worth of action. Maybe longer than that, but maybe 5 minutes, I think. But anyway, pretty good match. You know, it was whatever. Kofi Kingston is still kind of chuckles the clown a little bit. He's just too happy, you know, very excited about being the Intercontinental Champion and you know, appearing before the fans. He's kind of very Hulk Hogan, you know, in a way, but without any of the real swagger that Hogan was able to carry around with him. The finish on it comes when they actually showed at one point one of the stairwells or whatever where the Shield tends to run out of, one of the walkways. It was random, you know, just kind of sitting there. And then finally, that's when Cole asked, "Are they here?" meaning the Shield, only to find out that no, they were not. This was just, you know, I guess they were teasing it or whatever. But the finish came. Darren Young tagged in, and he and Titus O'Neil were both going to hit a spear or a tackle on Kane. But Daniel Bryan grabbed Titus O'Neil's foot, dragged him to the ground, slapped him in the no lock, which allowed Kane to hit the chokeslam on the chokeslam on Darren Young. I couldn't think of his name for a minute. On Darren Young for the win. And then they celebrated in the ring, but they were constantly looking around. They made a big deal of pointing that out. And also during this match, Cole pointed out that they had been told Mysterio had suffered a severe neck injury at the hands of the Shield. So continuing to feed updates on that story while talking about the Shield. Shield, no appearance from them here, just the guys looking around. And Jason put in his report that he thought it was sappy that they showed the ramp, or not the ramp, but the walkway, I guess. They shouldn't know where they're coming from. If they know where they're coming from, then duh, that's right, it's fake. You know, it's kind of gets shoved in your face, makes it hard to suspend your disbelief. So, but no Shield here, but they did, you know, mention it. They're taking over a lot of different aspects of the shows now, talking about they're kind of the terrorist in the corner, you know, that could strike at any time. And they're consistently taking up more and more TV time with even if they're not on TV, just even with the discussion of them. So good for those guys as they continue to be over big with WWE right now. From there, we had an ad for WWE's online merchandise, WWEshop.com. We got, after their own commercial, we were ringside where Josh Matthews boasted that they were being commercial free, as Jason put it. They had footage of Big E Langston's debut from Raw. Then we get Sheamus and John Cena backstage. Sheamus is telling some weird-ass story that Cena didn't understand. Cena said, "Forget it, it doesn't matter. All that matters is that we're on the same page tonight." Sheamus said, "Of course we are." You know, he goes, "We got, or Cena put over Big E Langston as being so powerful," and Sheamus said, "It sounds like his kind of fight." Sheamus said, "Tell me the truth. What really went on between you and AJ?" And so Cena whispered in Sheamus' ear. Sheamus made a couple of faces, everything from amused to disgusted to, you know, whatever. And finally goes, "Are you serious?" And Cena said, "Nope, I was just kidding." And he runs off. Sheamus says, "But is that possible?" What do you want me to say? It was kind of dumb. It was the worst of Sheamus and the worst of Cena all at the same time. If for people who don't understand what at least I, for example, dislike, and I think most fans who are tired of Cena, what they don't like, there are some that just want the guy to die for some reason. But if you want to know what we really dislike about the guy and what we don't like about the Sheamus character, it was all right here. Both of these guys doing the things that I dislike about their characters. It was kind of a interesting spinning vortex of just bleh. From there, we got the hobbling CM Punk and Paul Heyman heading to the ring, where Punk still on crutches and sold it very well, never gave up the crutches, even getting in and out of the ring, making sure that leg did not touch the ground. So I was kind of impressed with that. He said that his title reign is now up to 394 days. He said 20 years from now, people will look back and talk about him being the greatest superstar of all time. And yet the fans could not put aside their ignorance and bias and vote for him as Superstar of the Year. Punk to the fans turned a very prestigious award into a sham by voting for Cena. It was a pretty funny line, as Jason pointed out. He said, the fans who voted for our fans, the types of people who have their kids play t-ball games where they don't keep score so the kids don't know how big of a losers their parents are. Punk said he expects that from the fans, but he expected more from Cena. He said he could tell by the look on Cena's face when he accepted the award that he wasn't the Superstar of the Year. He said Cena was a hypocrite when he gave the slammy to Ric Flair. Punk encouraged the fans to cheer Flair when people started cheering his name and wooing, and said the guy, and the guys who come back for a paycheck so they can play their alimony and child support. That's what he said about Flair. So go and cheer Flair and the other guys who come back for a paycheck so they can pay their alimony and child support. Ouch. Punk said the thing that's most impressive, more impressive than winning the title 16 times, is holding it for 394 days. As .NET member Assassin emailed me, that Flair actually has 5 title reigns longer than CM Punk's current reign of 394 days. 5 of those 16 are longer. So, but of course, I'm just giving Punk a hard time here. He said that Flair had lost more title fights than he had won, whereas he does not lose any. He said, including from Cena and the knuckle dragger Ryback, who hurt me in the first place. Punk said he's in Pittsburgh entertaining the fans, or doing his best to entertain the fans despite undergoing surgery. And he said that those fans needed to be entertained because those women, the Pittsburgh Penguins, are on strike. Just got a decent response from the crowd, not near as much heat as it could have. He got good heat throughout this promo, though. Punk said he will be back next year, and no one will beat him for it then. By then. At that point, Ryback's music hit. He came out. Punk hobbled back and forth with Heyman kind of in the way. Heyman said, now don't forget, he's not been cleared. He's not been medically cleared. And Ryback said, but doctors say, but according to doctors, he will be. That's why on the first Raw of the year, I got my eyes set on the first Raw of the year when I become the new WWE champion, and then started chanting Feed Me More, which got the crowd chanting Feed Me More, and that was the end of the segment. You know, it's it was all right for what it was. I wasn't very impressed here. I mean, Punk got good heat from the crowd, but it was just another promo for him. I mean, it didn't help in anything. It didn't hurt anything. It was well done. It was well presented. It entertained, and maybe that's it at the end of the day. But it just didn't do a whole lot. It's like, yeah, it was great, but what else do you say? It was a lot of fun. But it didn't really do anything. Other than announce, of course, at the very end, the announcement that he would be facing Ryback, or we didn't get the official announcement of the match, but you know, that was pretty much of their announcement of the match. So we suspected this might be coming up. Be interesting to see what goes on with Rock and all of that involved. So it'll be that first show after the first of the year will certainly be very entertaining, or certainly very interesting to see. We hope it will be entertaining. Punk and Heyman left the ring. Antonio Cesaro made his ring entrance for our fourth match of the night. Ryback pinning Antonio Cesaro in 5 minutes and 5 seconds, non-title match. Cesaro had a little bit of offense against Ryback, caught him with one of those uppercuts off the second rope for a two count, and then Ryback squashed him and hit Shell Shock for the finish. 5 minute match, you can pretty much expect what it was. He's killed the U.S. champion, I guess, I think twice in a row now, is that what it's been? Or maybe Cesaro, Cesaro got the count out Monday night, right? I think is what it was, so... So, yeah, so then you go back immediately to it and then job him out, and there you go. You can never go back to that again as a first time. Way to go, WWE. We got another Tribute to the Troops ad that also talked about Miz and him flying with in the plane and how, you know, kind of jarring that was and whatnot. Backstage, AJ walks up on Caitlyn. Caitlyn kind of gives her the what treatment. She said AJ makes it hard to be her friend by doing the same thing over and over. You know, she falls for a guy, gets obsessed, and then acts like this. AJ acted like she was crying. But when Caitlyn said her name, she looked up at her with a mean face. Caitlyn said that she didn't have time to deal with this. She had a title match, and AJ said, are you choosing a title over your friend, or title match over your friend? And Caitlyn said, no, I'm choosing a title match over a lunatic, which caused AJ to attack her from behind. They balled on the ground for a few minutes, but referees came up and separated and had to pull apart. So Caitlyn went to the ring. Well, I'll stop there and just say this about AJ and Caitlyn. I don't care. I don't think anybody cares at this point. AJ's just the crazy chick, and Caitlyn is the person she beats up periodically to make sure we understand that, I guess. But Caitlyn went to the ring for the fifth match of the night, and it was Caitlyn defeating Eve by DQ in 5 minutes and 45 seconds. So Eve retains the championship, but Caitlyn wins by disqualification, which should mean they're going back to that match again at some point. And I think Caitlyn's about to win the title. I do. I think they want to give her a shot and see what she can do. Here's the thing. We'll skip that for now. Eve wins this, gets disqualified by making the referee fall down. She was holding on to the ref to keep from being dragged away, and then she finally just pulled his feet out from under him, and the ref called for the bell. Here's the thing about this is that they had the battle royal so that Naomi gets her shot, and then that they basically blow that off almost immediately, and then they come back to Caitlyn. Why have the one match in the middle? It's just all this seems so strange. I don't understand what the hell they're doing with the Divas. It's not even that it's lack of attention. It's like complete lack of focus. There's nothing going on there. They're putting people out there, and they're not even remembering what they did the week before or even the day before. It's bad. I don't get it. But backstage, AJ complained to Dolph about her fight with Caitlyn. Let me try that again. AJ complained to Dolph about her fight with Caitlyn. Langston, of course, stood there. Ziggler said she's jealous because AJ is with the future world champion. Big Show walks up at that point and starts telling Ziggler how he better, not try anything like he did last night. Ziggler kind of, look, Show, we're partners tonight. He goes, look, I get it. You don't trust me. I don't trust you. But trust me on this. If you try, if I get a premonition that you're trying to sell me out to cash in your money in the bank, then I've got no problem taking this hand and knocking you so far into the future. When you wake up, the contract will be expired. He walked off and left Ziggler and those guys standing there looking frustrated. We got an ad for the rest of WWE week. We got footage from Raw of Sheamus beating up Big Show with a giant chair, and then Ziggler trying to cash in only to have Cena prevent it from happening. Brad Maddox came out, spoke his name all the way to the ring, and said that after he wins this match, nobody's ever going to forget his name. Which led to our sixth match of the night, Brodus Clay defeating Brad Maddox in 2 minutes and 5 seconds. Pretty much show a squash match, like the rest of them. Maddox tried to attack a couple times. Clay just pretty much shrugged it off. He pins Maddox 1-2-3, and then the Shield runs in. Attacks Brodus Clay, hits the big power bomb, leaves him lying. And this, this one makes also no sense as well. It just, what did Brodus Clay do? Is it connected to Brad Maddox? I just want a better understanding of what they're doing, because what happened tonight, I don't have a logical answer for it. And I just need a little something. Just give me a little something to hold on to there, WWE. But not much so far. Maddox out of the ring after this was over, obviously, and not getting involved at all with the Shield, so no hint of anything there. One more ad for Tribute to the Troops aired along with Kid Rock. And then we get ring entrances for the main event. Cole announced that Santa Claus will be hosting the Christmas Eve edition of Raw, and that led to our seventh and final match of the night, John Cena and Sheamus defeating Big Show and Dolph Ziggler by DQ at 11 minutes and 25 seconds. Pretty much so the match breaks down as you would expect. Sheamus and Big Show end up on the floor. You've got Ziggler and John Cena in the ring. Ziggler hits a zigzag. Cena kicks out. Cena hits the AA, sells it for a minute, gets up to run over to cover when Langston runs in, tackles him, and beats him down, hits that move on him again, leaves him lying, and then AJ, of course, skipped around the ring, stopped, made out with Ziggler as they were both leaning over Cena, and then went back to skipping, and that was it. We got an ad for the Tribute to the Troops, and then went off the air, but pretty much so we closed with Ziggler and Langston standing there. Ziggler not looking confused tonight. Was the only difference between this night and last night. And that's how we ended the show. It was a fun match for what it was. And the crowd, they were dead by this point of the tapings. Again, I don't know what the order was in which they taped them. I didn't look at the results to see if we got Raw first or if they taped Raw after this, but they were, if the Raw tapings were after this, that's going to make me cry, because they were tired at the end of this show. If this was the end of the tapings, then I can understand how tired they are. But for the people who seem to still be remaining, they liked what they saw. I mean, I think there was a general buzz for this, even if it was just weak and tired sounding. This was aired on tape delay. So yes, this was taped first, and then aired on tape delay while Raw was taping. So I guess while Raw was taping, this was airing, quote unquote, live on USA. So again, the finish is pretty much what we had the night before. A lot of SmackDown this week was continuation of what we had the night before, some more of the same. The big news, of course, the WWE title match, and then, you know, some continuation, more Shield attacks. Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara supposedly both injured badly. Brodus Clay takes the triple powerbomb gimmick, not through a table, but just in the ring. But still, those attacks don't make sense to me, so I kind of want to know what's going on there. I think a lot of people are going to get that way pretty quickly with the Shield. I think everybody likes the group, and they like, you know, we never know who it's going to be. But I think most people want a reason for who it has to be. They don't care who it is ultimately, and they don't even care if they ultimately get wrong if they're guessing. They just want to have something that they can go, oh, I bet it's because of this. We don't have that with the Shield. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't make sense. There doesn't seem to be a common thread, and I think that's going to lead to some frustrating times unless they start, you know, cluing us into more very, very soon. But, you know, again, overall a good show. I don't know if I'd recommend sitting through all 2 hours of it. The main event's a fun match if you want to sit through. Other than that, no other match really stood out as great. Kofi and Hell No versus the Primetime Players and Wade Barrett was okay. It had its moments. But, you know, nothing worth getting really worked up over, nothing this week to tell you to definitely check out. And that's it. That's all the time I've got this week. There will not be a replay this Saturday, obviously. And then as far as I know, Jake and I will be back the next Saturday when SmackDown airs in its usual time slot on Friday night. Jake and I will be back to discuss it that next Saturday. As far as I know, that is the plan right now. I need to check with him and make sure. But I think the last time we talked, that's what it was. If not, I will be here solo for sure. We will have your guys all access audio, and so we'll see you back here on Saturday. Until then, remember, sign up now to be a .NET member. Get access to the ad-free version of the site, the .NET member forum and blog section, as well as access to all the audio we produce each and every week, so much of it just like this audio review of the WWE SmackDown show. Thank you guys for listening. I will see you back here next time. Until then, I guess the next time you hear from me, All Access, will be after Christmas. So everyone have a safe and Merry Christmas, and we'll see you guys back here next Saturday. Until then, take care.